Are you overwhelmed, my friend? Are you overwhelmed because you're looking at the situation as it is now? And there seems to be no hope. There seems to be no way out. And turmoil is stirring in your breast. And you think, I am not going to survive. Oh, beloved, listen to me carefully. You can survive. You can survive because there is a resurrection. And I want you to understand what that resurrection of Jesus Christ brought to you for today to take you into tomorrow. Today's pain, today's conflict, today's disappointment, today's discouragement can seem absolutely overwhelming, can it? And we think, you know, I can't get beyond today. Yes, you can, beloved. You can get beyond today because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Do you remember that holiday called Easter? Do you remember and do you know or do you even know what Easter Sunday is all about? Easter Sunday is the celebration of the first day of the Jewish week. It is the celebration of the day when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. All hope was lost. The disciples, the apostles, Mary, and others had followed this man called Jesus, this man that they were sure was the Messiah. He had told them he was going to die. He told them he was going to be buried. He told them that he was going to be raised from the dead. The Old Testament, the scriptures that they had and they read, had predicted the same thing, had prophesied the same thing for the Messiah. But the moment was overwhelming. The moment was filled with sorrow because they had lost their leader. Their leader had been crucified. Their leader had hung there on that cross, a man that was unrecognizable as a human being. Marred, as Isaiah 52 says, more than any man. They had watched as he had died. They heard him cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They heard it. They understood it. And in a sense, I'm sure that they felt forsaken because they had literally left all to follow him even as he had commanded. Even as he walked the shores of the Galilee and he looked at the fishermen and he said, leave your nets and come and follow me. They had done so. Matthew, the tax collector, had gotten up from the place where he was collecting taxes and he had followed Jesus. Multitudes had seen the miracles. They had seen the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the demonic possessed set free. And they had hung their hopes on him. And now all of a sudden, he's in a tomb. And they go to the tomb to take his sacred, precious body and take care of it. And the body's gone. And what does Mary do? We saw it in our last lesson. We see Mary weeping. We see the angels sitting inside the tomb, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus had been laid, but nobody in between. We see Mary stooping down and looking into that tomb, and we hear the angels saying, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? And she was weeping because all hope was lost. Now she can't even find the body of her precious Savior. Now she can't, in a sense, minister to that dead body and show her reverence and awe because he's gone. He's gone. And she thinks hope is gone. She thinks all is lost. Woman, why are you weeping? And so I want to stop and pause and ask you a question, precious one. Why are you weeping? Now, I have been weeping. I have wept. And I have wept on and off in my life. And there are times when I thought my heart would literally break in two. I thought, I can't stand the pain. I can't stand the agony. I have wept because of my past. I have wept because of relationships. I have wept out of being absolutely overwhelmed with life and how I'm going to get it all done and how I'm going to survive. I've wept for many, many reasons. And I'm sure in all probability that you have wept too. There have been times when the bed has actually shaken because of my sobbing. Until I stopped and said to myself, why are you weeping? Is what you believe true or is it not true? And I had to stop and say, it's true. So I got up from the bed, I dried my eyes, and I said, I will go on. You say, I want to know why you were weeping. All right, come on. Come on, sit right down here. Sit right down next to me and let me tell you why I was weeping. I was a brand new Christian. I was married. I had been divorced. I had two boys. I had been immoral. My life was an absolute mess, an absolute mess. And then I came to know Jesus Christ. And I fell in love with Jesus, and I fell in love with the Bible, and I fell in love with the man that introduced me to the Bible, that gave me a Phillips translation of the New Testament. It was a translation that had been written in easy to read language, and I had started reading it, and I was absolutely awed at all that I was learning. All that I was discovering in the Word of God. And then this man that I had fallen in love with, this single man that had never been married before, and yes, I was divorced, and yes, I was immoral, and all of that, but I fell in love with this man. Here he was, a man, pants and all, and standing there and sharing the scriptures. I'd never seen a man like that before. I'd never met a man that loved the Word of God the way Dave loved the Word of God. And I wanted to marry him. I fell head over heels in love with this man. And then the day came when he said, I went and talked to two men of God to ask him if I could marry you, and they told me no, and I can't marry you. And he walked out the front door, and I ran up the stairs, and I fell on the bed, and I was crying, and I was sobbing, and I thought, I'll just throw myself out the window before he drives off, and then he can feel bad. And then I thought, that's stupid. But I continued on that bed sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. I thought my heart would break. I wondered where God was. And then all of a sudden, it came to me in my mind, you've been telling everybody that Jesus Christ is sufficient for anything. Now, is he or isn't he? And I thought, he is. And I got my handkerchief and I blew my nose and I said, you're right. You are sufficient for anything. And I'm not going to keep crying like this. And I got out of bed. What enabled me to go on? It was the fact that Jesus Christ was not hanging on a cross. It was the fact that he was not in a tomb. It was the fact that he had been raised from the dead. Why was Mary weeping? Mary was weeping because she didn't know that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. We're doing a study on resurrection peace. Resurrection peace. It's a peace that comes because of what Jesus Christ wrought through his death, burial, and resurrection, and offers to you so that you can handle any and every situation of life. So that you know that it is not just today, but there is a tomorrow. And because Jesus Christ is the resurrection, and because he is the life, then you can handle today and all the tomorrows that come your way, and you can live in peace no matter the turmoil, no matter the conflict, no matter the disappointment, no matter the discouragement. You can make it, beloved, if you understand what Jesus Christ wrought for you in his resurrection. Let's go back to John chapter 19, where I left you in the last program. And remember, Mary has looked into the tomb. She has stooped down. She has looked into the tomb. She sees the two angels. They say, "Why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Why am I weeping? I'm weeping because they took away my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him. Now, I want you to see, it's all man. It's all man. They have taken away my Lord. I don't know where they have laid him. He's dead, and I can't find his body, is what she's saying. And then it says this, and I love this. And when she had said this, she turned around. And she saw Jesus standing there, and she didn't know it was Jesus. Her eyes are swimming with tears. She's weeping. She's distraught. And she sees this man, and she doesn't know that it is Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" It's interesting, isn't it? The angels say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Jesus says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then he asks this question, "Whom are you seeking?" Whom are you seeking? Well, who was she seeking? She was seeking the body of her dead Lord. She wasn't seeking the resurrected living Christ. And you see, when you and I do not know and understand what Jesus wrought for you and me in his resurrection, and what this resurrection life is about, and what this resurrection peace is about, then we are seeking what? The body of Christ, and not the life of Christ. This is why, in a sense, I would never wear a crucifix. And I would never wear a crucifix because Jesus is not hanging on the cross anymore. And what does that mean to you and me? We'll talk about it right after this important announcement.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, "Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you."
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us, and so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
Really, Remember, we left with Jesus asking Mary, whom are you seeking? Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she's looking right at him. And she supposes him to be the gardener. In the midst of her sorrow, in the midst of her grief, in the midst of her tears, she doesn't recognize Jesus. She thinks he's just a gardener, just another ordinary human being. And that's what happens to us so often, beloved. In the midst of our grief, in the midst of our sorrows, we forget that Jesus is not an ordinary man. He's the man that died. He's the man that was buried. He's the man that was raised from the dead. He's the man that is the resurrection and the life. He is the man who says, peace be unto you. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. I love it. She says, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary. She recognizes his voice. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, Rabboni. And I can just see her. She's just all of a sudden engulfing him in her arms. And she says, Mary, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Why? Because what Jesus accomplished when he hung on that cross and when he was buried and when he was raised from the dead, because he had completely and absolutely atoned for our sin, because he had conquered death, because he had defeated the enemy, because he had crushed his head of power, he could say to her, tell them, I've gone to my Father and your Father. Because of what I've accomplished, I have brought you, I have reconciled you to God Almighty. Your sins are taken care of and you belong to God, your Father, and you will be his forever and ever and ever. This is what I accomplished. And he's saying, go tell the men. Now remember, if you heard the last program, remember that Peter, and in all probability it is John, because he's not identifying himself, but he's saying the other disciple that ran faster than Peter, because Peter and John have looked into that tomb, because Peter and John have seen that the tomb is empty, but Peter and John didn't have the benefit of being talked to at that moment by Jesus. So he says, go tell them. Go tell them. Now, what is she to tell them? Well, listen very carefully, because it has to do with you. It has to do with you and why God has laid this little mini series on my heart of resurrection peace that can get you through every situation of life. Well, this is what he says. Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to the Father, my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that he had said these things to her. I've seen the Lord. Listen, let me tell you. Let me tell you what he said to me. Listen, this is what he said. And then it says, so when it was evening, that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They're afraid of the Jews. And listen, this is what happens when we don't know that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. This is what happens when we don't understand this absolutely critical doctrine. And that's what I'm giving you. I'm giving you the absolute critical doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and what it means to you practically. And that's what we're going to be studying for these next days, so that you can walk in this resurrection peace. But when you don't understand it, then you hide. then you're living a life of fear because you're fearful of what is going on around you. You're fearful, you're sorrowful, and you can't handle it because you don't understand what is yours in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited about teaching you this series. All right, now watch what he goes on to say. What the scriptures go on to say. And when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, and I don't want you to miss this, peace be with you. Peace be with you. This is the resurrection peace that I'm talking about. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw it was the Lord. It's me. It's me. Look at my hands. Look at the nail prints. It's me. Look at my side. Remember in our last program, we saw that when they went to break the bones of the men that were hanging there on the crosses, because it was the day of preparation for this high and holy Sabbath, and they got to Jesus, they didn't break his legs because he was already dead. But instead, they took a spear and they put it in his side, and blood and water gushed forth. He says, see my side? See my side? Well, they had seen it pierced. They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, now listen to me, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I'm the resurrected, living Christ. I'm going to live forever. And as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Your life has a purpose. And if you will understand what this resurrection power is all about, this resurrection power that brought him, as Ephesians says, out of the grave and seated him in heavenly places above all principality and power, you will know that you can go, and you will know that in the going, no matter what happens, you can have peace. And it goes on to say, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the hands and the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. You tell me you've seen the nail prints. You tell me you've seen the spear side, the side of him where the spear went in. But unless I put my fingers in there, I'm not going to believe. And it says, and after 8 days. Now listen, that man lost 8 days of joy. 8 days of peace because he doubted the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. After 8 days, his disciples came, were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut. And he stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, reach out your hands. Put your fingers in the nail prints. Put your fingers in my side. But he didn't have to. He didn't have to because he saw the resurrected Christ. Peace be unto you. And it says, and Thomas answered him and said, my Lord and my God. He lived. He lived. And Thomas saw it. Thomas knew he had been resurrected. And Thomas could handle whatever came. And you can too. It's resurrection, peace, and power. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun,
prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Looking for miracles? Are you fascinated by the dreams that other believers are having and what they're telling you about the future? Do you get all excited, beloved, when all of a sudden someone is healed? And the programs that you turn on, the programs that you watch are programs that have to deal with these sensational things. Oh, beloved, could you live on just the Word alone? Could you? Do you know the Word well enough so that if you didn't see a dream, if you didn't see a miracle, if you didn't have some exciting, extraordinary thing going on, you could make it? It's my goal for you. It's my goal for me. It's my goal for every child of God that you and I would so know this Word, that we would so understand this book from Genesis to Revelation, so that no matter what happened in our life, if we never saw another healing, if we never saw another miracle, if we never heard another prophetic dream, you and I could live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. God has told us that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And the knowledge of that resurrection, the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of the fact is able to give you peace. And this is what Jesus said. You see, Thomas doubted because he had to see for himself. He would not take others at the word that they had seen the resurrected Christ. He says, I'm not going to believe unless I experience this. And he wasted 8 glorious days of peace because he didn't believe what he heard. He had to be shown. Precious one, you're going to have and experience resurrection peace if you will simply believe what the Word of God has to say. And you will order your life accordingly. This is truth. All the Gospels and the New Testament, the book of Acts, all record the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And what the epistles tell us is what we have in Him because of that resurrection. Oh, beloved, may I urge you to steep yourself in the Word of God and know that this is where your peace comes from. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. This is the way you trust in God. This is the way you have resurrection peace. And we'll talk about it more tomorrow.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.